It's time to get strong, fit, and resilient. Welcome to the Fear Being Average podcast with your host, Brandon Rinka, where Brandon shares insights, practices, and education on leveling up how you look, feel, and perform. Say goodbye to complacency and get ready to kick the door into a new standard of living.
All right, we are talking about five ways to hit your protein target. This is a very important subject matter to cover today because I'm a massive advocate as a strength coach, as an individual who runs a gym and wants his members and community to thrive. And obviously myself, I have training goals. I have things I like to do in a performance aspect, how my body looks, how my body feels. And what I constantly see is people underconsume this very important macronutrient to not only achieve their goals, but just to live better, right? The unfortunate part really is that protein is just not very available in the narrative of foods that we are pushed towards, right? The easy access food, the convenient foods, the comfort foods, right? We're talking about foods that are very high in carbohydrates, very high in fats, and that doesn't mean carbohydrates and fats are bad. No, but the foods that we really crave, that we tend to go towards, are foods that don't have a lot of the properties that make our body feel great or look great. And typically, they actually push us towards overeating those foods. We're talking about, you know, pizzas and fast foods and desserts and pastries, all that kind of stuff. Tons of carbohydrates, tons of fats, tons of shitty oils, tons of sugars, tons of a lot of bad ingredients that our body really doesn't need nor want, and unfortunately barely contains any protein, if any protein at all, right? That's the part. It might have minimal protein, but a lot of these foods, they contain zero protein whatsoever, and it's just built around ingredients to get us to feel good in the moment, have us have a big crash, spike our insulin, spike our blood sugar, and ultimately lead to weight gain and how our body looks and feels. So it's really important that we start having a larger conversation about protein and putting this macronutrient on a pedestal. It's easy to come across carbohydrate-rich foods, and those foods are gonna be really good for the soul, really good for the body, really good for performance, right? But they're easy to come across, so we don't really need to push carbohydrates as much. Now, there is a whole different podcast and conversation built around getting a good amount of healthy carbohydrates and nutrient-rich carbohydrates that will actually aid in performance and recovery and how your body feels. But then the same goes with fats, right? There should be a conversation on, you know, the types of fats that we get. But we get a lot of fats in our diet. Maybe it's through butter or through, you know, nut butters, different oils, stuff like that. And typically we kind of find ourselves at least consuming enough fat, maybe not enough healthy fat, but still we're not really under-consuming those macronutrients as much. Now, the good macronutrients, the good carbohydrates, the good fats, yes, we're definitely under-consuming. That's a different conversation. But for protein, you don't just stumble across a high-protein diet when you eat like shit. You will stumble across a high amount of carbs, a high amount of fats. But with protein, you have to be much more intentional, right? There has to be a more deliberate effort to hit your protein target. And for a lot of people, the habits they live with and the choices that they make and the way their body has adapted to the lifestyle they've created for themselves, it's really easy to miss this target. For one, the target is much further away than most people think. The RDA, the recommended daily allowance, is quite low. I think it's like 0.7 grams of protein per kilogram, which if you did that math for me, it would be like 50 grams of protein. That's not supporting muscle tissue. That's not helping me gain muscle tissue whatsoever. It's really not doing me any good other than keeping me alive, right? It's the bare minimum. So we need to get outside that range, and we need to start going more towards the higher ranges, which again, a lot more studies are coming out now. A lot of good clinical research from Dr. Stuart, I think it's Stuart Phillips, out of McMaster University. I've read a few of his papers and articles. The one in Science Daily recently that's out of the Journal of Physiological Medicine or something like that. And what they were talking about is that we need to up the protein consumption, right? And this has been going on for quite a few years now, but the conversation is changing, going away from that RDA recommended dose and actually pushing a protein target that is going to nurture lean skeletal muscle mass, is going to nurture bone density and all the good that comes along with a higher protein diet, even satiating components, right? Having protein that will give us an environment where we don't crave these high carbohydrate, high fat, high sugary foods, and we're actually filling our diet more with muscle supportive, health boosting proteins, and that's a big component of it. So to be very clear, every cell in your body contains protein. That is how important protein is. For anybody thinking about, well, why do I need a higher protein diet? Every cell in your body contains protein, literally, right? So with this being said, protein plays a ton of functions, right? It is very, very applicable to your daily life, regardless if you see it or not. I know a lot of times the conversation gets steered towards lean muscle tissue, which again is incredibly important. We'll get into some benefits of that. But thinking of how your body functions outside of the gym and how it looks, it's incredibly important that we fill our diet with a lot more lean proteins. So like I said, there's tons of functions that proteins play within our body. For one, building tissue and repairing muscle tissue, for hormone production, immune function, right? So if you get sick or ill or you're prone to disease, right, or even cancers, having a higher protein diet to support the muscle mass, the insulin sensitivity is going to play a big role, right? For energy production, for your skin, for your hair, for your nails, for your bone density, to fight off osteoarthritis, to actually improve grip strength, right? To increase muscle protein synthesis, which is the signaling of new proteins. Very, very important. And for me, the big one, it kind of goes down to, because I'm obviously a massive advocate of strength training and building lean muscle tissue, protein is critical. It's literally essential to build lean muscle tissue, right? Muscle growth isn't just important for, yeah, your body looking a certain way and, you know, aiding in confidence and empowerment and giving you a sense of fulfillment that way, but muscle growth has the importance that actually nurtures quality of life, right? The more lean muscle tissue you have, now obviously this, it's a moving scale, so it doesn't mean that, well, if you keep putting on muscle, your quality of life is going to improve. Of course not. You can't equate that from a bodybuilder to someone who's, you know, in really good shape at 180 pounds. But having muscle tissue and at least a good amount of muscle tissue, where basically your body composition would be somewhere between, you know, 15% body fat to 12% body fat if you're a male, and anywhere for a female of 18% body fat to about, you know, 25% body fat, with the rest being lean muscle tissue, your body's gonna thrive at that point. Your body's gonna feel really good, it's gonna look good, and it's gonna perform and function at a fairly high level. So I read this post the other day from Dr. Gabrielle Lyon. She is someone who really pushes this conversation in this direction, talks a lot about strength training, talks a lot about the importance of building lean skeletal muscle tissue, talks a lot about incorporating more complete proteins in your diet. So a lot of animal proteins that contain a complete source of amino acids, which helps support recovery in the growth of muscle tissue and the preservation of muscle tissue. She did a post the other day that says, reasons why higher proteins diet work. And there's four of them. One of them was being it stimulates MPS, so muscle protein synthesis, like I said. The production of new proteins actually will then, muscle protein synthesis is a precursor, a necessity to actually build more lean muscle tissue. It protects your skeletal muscle, so it actually will help slow down the aging process, right, of your muscles breaking down. And again, when you have less protective muscle tissue, you are more vulnerable to injury, you're more vulnerable to breaks and sprains, and a lesser quality of life. And for a lot of people that don't know, it's not that when people fall, old people fall and they break their hip, that, you know, that's killing them in the moment. But what it does, it dramatically shuts down their quality of life, because now they can't walk for that time being. They're not able to do a lot of the things that actually aids in them living a high quality of life, right? So you see a lot of correlation between hip fractures or hip breaks and very soon after people actually dying because of it. So that's one of those things we need to take into real consideration, especially as we age. We don't want to go into our 40s and 50s with a weak, fragile body, because even if, yeah, you break your hip now or something happens to your body where it is really imbalanced, you're just more vulnerable as you age, and it's harder to kind of build that back up. So we want to be on top of the ball here, and we want to make sure that we're playing offense and not just defense. Reasons why high protein diets work: it increases thermogenesis, so our body actually will burn more calories, it heats up, requires more energy that way, and it enhances satiety. So for a lot of people, overeating is a huge component of obviously weight gain and the obesity epidemic that we're currently experiencing at a very rapid rate. With higher proteins diet, they are more satiating, meaning they keep you full, right? Protein does require the body to digest it at a higher rate. So it's gonna be a little bit slower into the system. It's gonna keep us fuller longer, which again is gonna prevent those cravings when we eat, let's just say, something like a fast food item that doesn't contain a high dose of protein and contains a lot of ingredients that aren't all that satiating. You're gonna be more prone to eat something an hour or an hour and a half later, or snack on something, or eat more of it in the moment, right? So she had a really cool quote that goes with that as well, saying, "Trying to lose weight without addressing protein is like trying to climb Mount Everest with flip-flops on. Sure, you could do it, I guess, but why would you want to, right?" So it just makes your journey so much harder. So if you're somebody who's struggling with weight management, with weight loss, with fat loss, with putting your body in a position to actually look more sculpted, look more shapely, look less flat, look more quote-unquote toned and defined, you want to make sure you're keeping your diet full of very lean cuts of protein to support all those goals, right? So we're going to jump into the five ways that you can hit your protein target, make it way easier on yourself. So number one, we're looking at eating breakfast, okay? This is a big one. I see a lot of clients of mine, right, and people I've talked to in the past, they intermittent fast because they've heard a few benefits of it, or maybe they have no time in the morning. They don't make the time in the morning, so they have a coffee, or you know, they kind of delay the beginning of their day, right? Already, I'm not a huge fan of that, because typically when we're in this fasted state as we sleep, we do technically go into this state of, you know, catabolism, right? So if you think about an anabolic state, it's more of a muscle growth state, so it's pro tissue. A catabolic state, which fasting does create, is a muscle breakdown state. Now, that doesn't mean, it's obviously a lot more complicated than that. It doesn't mean just because you're in this state of 8 hours of sleep that your muscles are breaking down. No, they're repairing and they're recovering, and they're obviously getting to a state of growth as well. But if you continue that process for too long, your body is in this catabolic state, and we want to introduce your body to anabolic state fairly quickly after waking up. There's a lot of research that has gone into this, not just to support muscle growth and the reverse of muscle breakdown, but also for blood sugar levels, right? And your insulin levels as well. So, and reducing stress hormone cortisol and starting to actually nurture anabolic hormones like testosterone and growth hormone, and like I said, hormones that are growth and build oriented, right? So when I tell clients to introduce breakfast, it's not necessarily like you can't hit your protein without it. It's just gonna be really hard, and I really haven't seen it, right? Because if we're taking the average person who needs to hit about 0.8 to 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight, to keep it nice and simple here, if we're looking at someone who is 150 pounds, for example, pretty average weight, and we're looking at 1 gram per pound of body weight of protein, they're looking for 150 grams of protein, right? Even if we were taking a 180 pound person or a 200 pound person, and we're around that 0.6 to 0.7 to 0.8 range per gram or per pound of body weight, we're still looking at about 150 grams of protein, 160 grams of protein. You know, for someone who's lighter, 120 pounds, yeah, maybe they're looking at, you know, the minimum around 100 grams of protein. Now, but if we're taking that average avatar of 150 pounds or 140 to 170 pounds, if we miss breakfast and we're only eating two meals per day, we're looking at about a 70 gram meal of protein twice a day. I don't know a lot of people that are eating 70 grams of protein in a meal. Like, they're just not doing it. I don't know a lot of people that are eating 20 grams of protein in a meal. Now, for me, someone who's very used to this, someone who's, you know, experienced eating a lot of protein for the last 15, 20 years of my life, you know, it's second nature. It's what I do. I don't eat a meal without protein. But for a lot of people, especially when they skip breakfast, they're behind the eight ball now, right? Because now they might look at their watch. Maybe they had a meeting, they had their coffee, they had their snack. Before they know it, maybe they had their second coffee. Before they know it, it's 12 o'clock and they're at 0 grams of protein. And then what happens? They go out for lunch. Maybe they go out for lunch that day and they grab a pizza. Maybe they grab, you know, something downstairs. Maybe they skip lunch because they work right through it. Or maybe they go to something that's really quick and easy, a handful of nuts or a fruit, or maybe they do the quote-unquote healthy choice and eat a salad. And before you know it, it's now 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and people are at 5 to 20 grams of protein, right? They're so far behind. Now they're going to get home, they're going to be tired, and all of a sudden we're asking that person to take down another 120, upwards of 150 grams of protein. Like, it's just not going to happen. They are going to miss drastically, right? So what we want to do is get a jump start. We want to start from ahead, right? So the morning's a great opportunity when the world's quiet. You have some time if you actually structured your morning and day properly to wake up, take down a big protein breakfast, right? Protein and fat is an awesome tool in the morning to improve cognition, to give your body a lot of essential macronutrients, a lot of micronutrients that are paired with those healthy fats and proteins as well. It gives you a lot of clarity. And like I said, that boost of energy and feel-good hormone kick to start your day, rather than having sluggish, you know, refined carbohydrates or skipping breakfast or, you know, just having a coffee and waiting for that afternoon crash. So my suggestion is start your day out before 9 a.m. hits with a meal that contains at least 30 grams of protein. And this can be a mix of eggs with a meat, so like a pea meal bacon or a turkey sausage, or do egg scramble where you use the leftovers the night before, whether it's lean ground beef or lean ground turkey or steak, something of that nature. Obviously, you can do, you know, a protein smoothie that contains about 25 to 30 grams of protein. You can add some cheese in there. Whatever it is, this isn't a podcast to give you the exact format of what your breakfast should look like. But what I'm saying is you want to make sure breakfast is a huge component to this hitting your protein target. Right? If you skip breakfast, expect to miss your protein goals. And I know I've done a podcast before about the one meal per day that I believe David Sinclair talks about. He's a big advocate of about longevity. But again, I think he misses the component then of, well, people are going to actually have their muscle break down at a much faster rate. Their quality of life is going to lessen and worsen. And their body's going to be fragile and weak. And I don't equate thriving with fragile and weak, right? And you look at him, and not to you know, shoot some shots here, but the guy is small, thin, weak, and skinny. That doesn't, in my eyes, doesn't equate to a thriving, admirable individual. You know, like, at the end of the day, you can have both. You can have the best of both worlds. You can be someone who looks strong, who feels strong, who can protect themselves, who actually has muscle and athletic ability to function optimally, but still live a really long life and live a healthy life. So it's imperative that you eat your breakfast, not only for a protein target number, but also get more calories in. You know, that's a whole different conversation. People are eating way too low of calories too often. Somehow, you know, they're not losing weight and losing fat, right? They have a lot of metabolic damage going on. Their metabolism has adapted to what they've been given it, but it's just not functioning very well, not functioning optimally. So it's another good opportunity to get more calories to start your day, because remember, you're not a toddler. You are a grown human who needs more than 1,500 calories to function optimally. Number two, we're looking at protein shakes. You want to hit your protein target, use a protein shake, right? It's so simple, so easy. I know for a lot of people, the idea of cooking up and eating chicken breasts every day, or cooking up and eating lean ground beef every day, or even having eggs every day, can be a bit of a task. Now, to me, it's still like, hey, there's lots of ways to cook those foods, and just do it every single day. And you can substitute foods. You can do fish instead of chicken. You can do, you know, pork or turkey instead of lean ground beef. Like, you can do steak instead of a hamburger. Like, you can play around with it. You can do an omelet instead of a hard-boiled egg. You can do a fried egg. You can do a scramble. Play around with it. Have fun with it. That is your kind of big, you know, setback, where you're like, well, I don't want to eat the same thing every day. Yeah, you can mix it up and you can get creative. But protein shakes are just so easy. They're so simple. When I hear someone not hit, you know, at least 100 grams of protein, I'm like, how? Or even 80 grams of protein, I'm like, how is that possible? Like, take down a protein shake right there, you get 30 grams of protein. Like, it's simple. You literally, it's the easiest way to consume 25 to 30 grams of protein like that, right? You put water into one of those shaker cups, and then you put protein powder in it, you shake it up, you drink it. Within 90 seconds, that protein shake is gone and you have consumed 30 grams of protein. Like, you are doing really well right now. Now, all you got to do now is nurture a few more meals of 30 to 40 grams of protein. And before you know it, you're over your 100 grams and you're close to your 1 gram per pound of body weight if you're relatively lean. If you're obese or overweight, you're someone who's 250 pounds with, you know, 60 pounds to lose. Yeah, look for that 170 to 180 grams of protein, not only to support the goals that you have, but this will help you from overeating as well. So protein shakes, no brainer. This is something you have to do. If you are struggling to hit your protein target, grab a protein shake, have it every single day. I like to pair it right after I work out, smack down a protein shake. An hour and a half later, I get home. Then I put my real meal on, right? That's where I'll actually have like my meat with my carbohydrate and a higher calorie meal for me, right? But right there, the protein shake right after a workout is 30 grams. An hour and a half later, I have another 35 to 60 grams of protein. Within a 2 hour period, I've had about 90 grams of protein, right? Like, I'm really in control of that protein target at that point, and I'm not struggling at the end of the night to get it in. Now, protein shakes can also be used for that though. So let's just say it's the end of the night, 7 p.m. You look at your, you know, food log or your fitness tracker and you go, damn, I'm about, you know, 30 grams short of protein. I don't feel like having a chicken breast. I don't feel like having a solid whole food. Well, I'm gonna go do a protein shake in water, or I'm gonna blend it up with milk or almond milk or something that actually gives it a little bit more taste to it. And again, a lot of protein shakes, basically every powder out there tastes good nowadays, so you can't go wrong. For people that have never tried a protein shake, I don't know what you've been doing, but believe me, protein shakes taste good now. Not like 15 years ago when it was kind of hit or miss. Now, you can take that protein down, and then right there, you hit your target. So they're great tools. Now, the caveat is, or at least a little disclaimer, try to hit your protein target through whole foods. Obviously, that is the best, you know, source of it. But protein powders, especially whey protein, it's a very good quality source of protein. So for me, I've used a protein shake literally since the day I started lifting and trying to put on mass and put on lean muscle tissue, and for athletics. So that's been 17 or 18 years now, right? And yes, I've worked at a supplement store, so I know all about proteins for 4 years. I've been in this industry for a long time, so just a massive advocate of it. And for what I see, more people would just benefit from using this easy source, especially if they're having a hard time getting it in, and especially if whole foods tends to be a struggle for someone, especially early on to their kind of eating a higher protein diet. It can be a little bit overwhelming to eat whole foods at around 120 to 150 grams of protein, where a protein shake doesn't quite have the same feel to it. It's a drink, it's a liquid, so it seems a little bit more sustainable to add to your diet. Number three, eat more meals. So more frequent, smaller meals. That would be a big suggestion here. So for a lot of people that have done the math in their head and they go, well, I'm 180 pounds. Brandon's telling me to eat about 0.6 to 1 gram of protein per pound. So I'm somewhere around 140 grams of protein to 180 grams of protein. oh man, that's going to be pretty challenging because I only eat three meals a day. And to take down, you know, a 55 gram protein serving upwards of, you know, 60 gram protein serving, that seems pretty impractical, right? Like that's a big protein meal to do three times a day. So instead, what I would do is take those bigger, more set meal times, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I would divide them in two, right? I'd have a smaller breakfast containing 25 to 30 grams. Then I'd have a snack, for example, and then I might have a lunch for about 35 grams of protein, then kind of a midday shake or a post-workout shake. Then I'd have a big dinner of, you know, 25 to 40 grams of protein, and then you hit it, right? But for a lot of people, this is just more manageable, right? It's more manageable to say, you know what, I'm going to break this task down. I'm not going to overwhelm myself with one or three meals of really high protein consumption. That for a lot of people, that's very difficult on the gut and digestion anyways. Breaking it up into smaller meals and smaller portions is much more practical. It's more realistic. And again, it creates this structure to the day, and it creates the mindfulness of, you know what, I'm gonna get up and move and put food on, or, you know, just take a step away from my work. I'm gonna, you know, create some mindfulness for that moment, and I'm gonna actually nurture my health compared to the person that eats one or three meals a day and they're go, 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 and before they know it, you know, they're barely consuming any calories and their body's craving something of comfort. And typically when that happens, people don't make the most logical healthy-based decisions, and they lean into something that's not really nurturing their values or goals or health. So doing this just constantly keeps you alert, keeps you focused on eating in a progressive, productive manner, and it makes the challenge for some of eating a lot of protein, like I said, a lot more manageable and a lot more realistic for them to get it done. So I've always found the, you know, really big, you know, 2 to 3 meals a day just doesn't work for the majority of my clients. Like, I don't see people eating 50 to 60 gram protein meals. If you are someone that can do that and you've been doing it really well, you eat 2 to 3 meals and all those meals contain 40 grams to 50 grams of protein, keep doing it. But if that's not you, and you feel like that's an overwhelming task to put down 40 to 50 grams of protein per meal, definitely break that into smaller meals and make it more of a manageable task, okay? Next one, we're looking at prioritize protein. So what do I mean by that? At every meal, we sit down and there's a bunch of food on our plate, and we get to choose what food we eat first. So let's use an example of, we have a piece of chicken on the plate, we have a big cup of basmati rice, and then maybe we have an avocado in salad. Now, what might be tempting to you is to eat the rice or to eat the sweet potato fries, or which I add the sweet potato fries in there because they sound so good, or eat the salad first. And before you know it, you aren't hungry for protein anymore. Like you're full, right? At least in that moment. And the last thing you want to do is eat that 4 to 5 ounce piece of chicken that's still on your plate. So what I suggest, what I tell my clients to do, and what works really well, is before you divulge the carbohydrate on your plate, before you take down the side order of whatever you have, or maybe the side salad, which again, doesn't look to be all that fulfilling, but believe me, if it's a big salad with some oils and different things in it, that can definitely fill you up. And the last thing you want to do at that point is eat 4 to 5 ounces of chicken. Make the protein on your plate your priority. So for one, you need to have every single meal you eat, you need to have a protein in there, right? You need to put a protein on your plate. Now, to be clear, if we're thinking about smaller meals and snacks, a handful of nuts does not equate to a high protein meal. A tablespoon of peanut butter does not equate to a high protein meal. Those are like 4 to 6 grams of protein. That's not gonna cut it. Those are good complements. They're good accessories to your meals if you're looking to add more calories into your diet and you're looking to have a little bit more protein here and there, but those are not substitutes for an actual meal of 25 to 40 grams of protein. Okay, let's just be clear. I didn't really mention that, but that is something definitely worth mentioning. So when we're talking about prioritizing protein, Every meal you have contains a 20 to 30 gram portion of protein. And then when you sit down to eat that meal, the protein is the first thing you finish. That doesn't mean you have to eat your chicken without eating the carbohydrate or the side dish with it. It just means before you finish the carbohydrate and the side dish or whatever else is on your plate, you finish the protein first. Like, you make sure that is the big goal. If I were to get anything done in this meal, it is to get down that piece of protein, right? After that, feel free, eat more rice, have more salad. Now, for one, this works really well for weight management because when we prioritize protein, we're less likely to consume higher fat, higher portions of carbohydrates, right? We typically sit with that feeling in our stomach for a bit. We allow the protein to digest, and we kind of sit at that 80% full range, which is a great place to stop. But with carbohydrates, especially if they're fast absorbing, it's really easy to eat till you're full, right? Eat till you're stuffed, sorry. And that's the difference. Full is like, I'm good. That's like 80% stuffed. Stuffed is I'm going to literally get to the point where I'm bloated, I'm feeling tired, and I don't feel like my body could handle another fork full or spoonful, right? So it's really good to prevent you from overeating, and it nurtures this idea of seeing protein as the most valuable thing on your plate, because it is. So prioritize it, finish it first, and make sure it's on your plate to begin with, 100%. And then number five, the last one here, which it might be a little surprise, a little bit outside the box thinking, but it actually has a lot of validity to it and a lot of realism to it, is strength training, right? If you want to hit your protein target, strength training is a big driver of actually getting in more protein. And you're probably wondering to yourself, like, how is that correlated? How does strength training equate to hitting your protein target? For one, when you strength train, you're already in the mentality of I'm trying to build my body. I'm trying to get my body to become stronger, hence the strength training, right? I'm trying to increase my performance. With that, you're already thinking, whether consciously or subconsciously, that you're trying to nurture adding lean muscle tissue to your body. You're trying to do something for your body that actually builds the body into a stronger version of itself. So you're now, whether you're consciously thinking about it or not, going to start addressing habits and behaviors that nurture that goal, right? So you're going to prioritize sleep a little bit better. You're going to do a better job with stress management. You're going to do a better job with your nutritional profile. And you're going to do a better job at seeing protein as the asset that it is, right? It's no longer a liability in terms of, oh my God, I got to eat this, you know, 5 ounce piece of chicken. It's more so like, really, I want that 5 ounce piece of chicken because it's going to help me with my goals. It's going to help my body look the way I want to look. It's going to help my body feel the way I want it to feel. And it's going to help my body perform at the level in which I want it to perform at. So it kind of creates this ecosystem of, you know, everything's nurtured around, you know, building the body back up, and you start craving foods that help you do that. Secondly, when you strength train, you are sending a very loud signal to your body that you are trying to build. Your body is going to eventually start craving more foods and more foods that support that goal, right? Because your body is looking to recover, right? You strength train and you break down your tissue in the gym, your body's looking for nourishment to help with that recovery process. You're looking for nourishment to help repair the muscle soreness. And protein is a huge component to helping you do that, right? So your body is craving and thriving on the idea of having this macronutrient in front of you that's actually going to support the goal of making your body feel better, recover faster, look better, right? So when you start strength training, that's one thing I've really seen with my clients, especially when I'm trying to kind of reverse diet them out of eating low. Maybe they're eating, you know, 1300 calories and they're skipping meals, and some days they're not eating at all. And we're trying to get them to eat more because I'm trying to kind of reset their metabolism at a much higher caloric intake. I'm trying to get them to eat more. And early on, when they're working out in a manner that's more exercise oriented, they're doing like the high rep, lightweight, short rest period type of stuff. It's not promoting growth. It's not promoting building muscle. And they wonder why they don't have a big appetite for foods that are actually nurturing the goal of making their body look stronger and feel fitter and more resilient. And what I tell them is, well, once you start actually introducing, free weight training in the form of these heavy compound multi-joint movements, and you're actually following a progressive program, your body is going to get hungrier, right? Because you're literally sending that signal to your body. Like your body is responding effectively. And without doubt, most people find themselves wanting to eat more food, right? Because all of a sudden now your body is producing more energy, right? Or it's using more energy, right? Because when you start building the body up, you start increasing your metabolism, you start burning more calories at rest. When you start burning more calories at rest, your body craves some nourishment because now you're burning calories at a faster rate, right? Your metabolism isn't slow anymore from all the, high rep, low weight, kind of bullshit exercise you've been doing, or maybe even cardio that you've been doing that has slowed your metabolism down. There isn't that need for more food. But when your body starts burning calories at a more rapid and efficient rate, your body all of a sudden craves more food. And like I said, it's not that you're going to crave necessarily shitty food. You're going to naturally crave foods that support your goal, right? And then help your body build the muscle, burn the body fat, and look the part that you're trying to achieve. So very important that when we're trying to get more protein in our diet, that we nurture that with strength training. We nurture that with a progressive resistance training program. So again, to sum it up once again, five ways to hit your protein target. Number one, eat breakfast. Don't skip breakfast. Start from ahead. Number two, introduce protein shakes as a way to definitely hit your protein target, or if you're falling short of your protein, to use it as a substitute at the end of the night to throw it into your diet. Number three, eat more smaller, frequent meals. This is gonna help this potentially overwhelming task of getting 150 to 200 grams of protein within a day much more manageable and easier on the gut and digestion. Number four, I want you to prioritize protein. I want you to see protein as the most valuable asset on your plate. And I want you to finish that first before the other foods on your plate. And number five, I want you to strength train. I want you to introduce weight training and movements that are sending the hormonal signal that you are trying to build. You are trying to get your body stronger, and that you need the macro and the micronutrients to repair that growth process and start and nurture that growth process. And protein is going to be the most essential macronutrient to actually do that. So there you have it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. These are tools and tips that will definitely get you where you want to go. Please do not hesitate to reach out, and don't see this as something that's overwhelming. This is potentially a start of a new journey for you. And this is a great little toolkit to go back to if you're ever having a hard time hitting your protein target. Listen to this again, apply the strategies, and you will be good to go. We will see you on the next episode of the Fear Being Average podcast. Thank you for listening.